Recovery 101, Recovery Bites. Recovery 101, Recovery Bites. Recovery 101, Recovery Bites. Recovery Bites. Recovery Bites.
Thank you to Guillermo for the vintage Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMAFA, or none of them there, guys. All the views and opinions are ours and ours alone. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelly
and Mark.
Mark's lighting up a cigar, as was I. That's what we need. We need to get sponsored by a cigar company. Mark, work on that.
And then you guys can talk about what you're smoking before the show.
Yeah. You know what, Mark? Yeah. That's a really excellent idea. We could talk about the cigars we're smoking at the beginning of every show and get a sponsor.
I can see Mark.
We could just start a new podcast and call it the Cigar Hour.
That, you know, that there's a thought there too.
Yeah.
Ooh. Things are afoot at the Circle
K. What the heck are you guys going to talk about with cigars for an hour?
We bring guests on.
You can talk about a lot of things with cigars. There are cigar podcasts, actually.
Actually, we need to do video and bring those girls on that like roll the cigars between their naked bodies.
Yes.
In studio.
And it's funny because Mark is currently sitting under a rather nicely framed thing of Havana's Mas Fino with a girl in fishnet stockings and cigars.
It's behind me, though.
Yeah.
That's all behind me now.
No, it's, yeah. It's good for me from this angle, though.
I wonder why you keep looking over at me longingly.
Yeah.
It was a little weird for a while. I got used to it.
I keep staring at the poster because her bathing suit bottom is being held up by a safety pin. And every time I look over, I go, that can't be right.
I never noticed that before.
You never noticed that?
No. I was busy
I never noticed the safety pin.
I was looking at the TNA.
Yeah.
And the legs.
Okay, this is a mom thing. I'm telling you, this is a mom thing. I noticed the safety pin. You guys don't even see it. I had some friends out once from Texas. They were friends that I met on the internet through a talk forum, a discussion forum. And they came out to visit, and we go down to the beach. And we're walking along the beach, and there is a girl laying out, a couple of girls laying out on their towels, wearing thong bikinis, and they're laying on their stomachs.
Okay.
I'd notice that.
And two of the people in the group said, we're like, ooh, that's nice. And another person said, there were four of us, another person said, yeah, I'd hit that. And I looked down and I said, boy, I hope she put on sunscreen because that's going to hurt like a bitch if she gets a burn. And all three of them turned and looked at me and said, that's what you thought? And I'm like, I can't help it. I'm a mom. Sure enough, we walked back down the beach the other way like an hour later. Her ass is bright red. And I'm like, I told you so.
They noticed that as well. So it looked like someone had been giving her a few spanks. Is that what it was?
Well, it's the thing. It's the mom thing.
I'd have went and got aloe immediately and stopped back and offered my services.
You're going to need some help there, hon. Let me help you out. It's a mom thing. You automatically notice the one potential catastrophe right off the bat.
By the way, I want to mention Patreon.com. Yes. Patreon.com/recovery101. It's a user-funded platform. I got turned onto it by some people that had gotten demonetized, or videos had gotten demonetized on YouTube because they had the occasional swear word or whatever, and you know, they just, that's not good for advertising. And I wanted to let people know that you can patronize us for as little as $1 a month. you know, like 1/5 of the price of a latte at Starbucks. And the idea is we can, rather than using PayPal at Recovery 101, you can do that as well. But this is, it's something that's really cool. I mean, we've had people pledge as much as $25 a month, which is fantastic. But you don't have to do that. You can do as little as a dollar. You can do $1,000 a month if you so desire.
We won't stop you.
We also,
I might question your sanity, hey, but I won't stop you.
$1,000 a month is the price of 200 lattes. You know, so you know, just look at how many lattes you drink and then figure it out.
And then stop drinking them? Is that what you're telling people?
Exactly. Make them at home. Send us the extra money. but I wanted to make that point because there's goodies you can get for being sponsors, too. You can get these shows before they're ever listed up on
Podomatic.
And you get them without the regular advertisements in them. They still have, at the end, we still put the advertisements of people that are going to, you know, ongoing. We also have, interestingly enough, which I think is really inexpensive, there's a $250 a month option that if you have a business, and especially, I think it's especially good for online businesses. If you have a business and you want a really inexpensive advertising way, we will give your business a shout out, you know, Recovery 101, sponsored in part by blah, 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 your phone number, your website address, and you'll get two shows a week. You know, so 104 shows a year
forever.
So for $250, you get 8 mentions that month. So that's, you just can't buy that. Well, you can buy that
from us.
You can buy that from us. Yeah, Shelly,
what?
How's your day?
Well, we had another glorious baseball sermon. I love this series. We only have one more to go, so I'm going to be sad when it's over. Today, the pastor worked in the 1963 Dodgers defeat of the Yankees in the World Series. And he talked about Sandy Koufax and how he had such an unusual pitching style. Mm-hmm. And he parlayed that into Koufax teaching Hershiser a few tricks, mm-hmm. which he parlayed into Hershiser saying that he didn't, when he was criticized, he didn't want to pitch like Koufax. He wanted to pitch like Hershiser. He wanted to be the best him he could be.
And he was.
Which he then connected to us all being children of God and how we can be the best children of God that we can possibly be. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I am really going to miss this pastor because he connects things in really amazing ways.
When's he going to do the damn Yankees?
What?
When's he going to do the damn Yankees?
The damn Yankees. He was actually a Yankees fan when he was a kid because they lived back east. Uh-huh. And then when his family moved in 1962, they moved to Los Angeles, at Pasadena, and then he had to be a Dodgers fan. He said, "You have to root for the home team." Yep. And I'm like, I'm up in the choir loft thinking, "No, you don't. No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do."
How much ribbing did that guy get in school? Oral Hershiser.
Yeah, that's an interesting name.
I mean, really?
Probably a bit. Oral is actually a very old Southern family name. It's there. If you go down to the South, there are quite a few people that have that name.
Oral's a lot of older things. From yesterday to the present.
Oral Roberts.
What's Oral Roberts? He probably didn't get as much ribbing. Because I'm thinking he went to a fairly Mormon school. Probably not. He got ribbing. Isn't Oral Roberts? No? Oh, no.
No,
never mind.
No. He's one of the TV evangelists.
I don't know why. I was thinking Brigham Young, that should have got a lot of ribbing. I'm just saying. I'm not saying. So what's going on with Mark today?
I had an easy day today. Went and worked out in my garden for a while. And
anytime you want, you can work out in our garden.
My garden's starting to come in now, though, so I'm like got to trim some fresh vegetables. And
now you actually have to do something.
And I, you know, been saving coffee grounds and eggshells for
I remember those days.
Tomorrow I'm fixing all the dirt in our garden.
Hold on, let me make a note of that.
Well, because
you were doing that tomorrow one other time too.
Well,
last September.
I did a lot of that.
Okay.
He did some. There's only like 5 bags.
Because you were going to do that in between getting us set up to take calls.
Working on that.
He has no option now. He has to figure that out because one of our incentives for patrons for patrons on Patreon is they get like a spotlight show. They can call in and talk about the topic with us. So, cool.
Yeah, let's get that done.
Well, we have, which we forgot to call him.
What?
We have to get Curtis over here. We've got a sound guy.
Yeah, there's
who's a sound guy, not the other sound guy we have. We got a sound guy who said he would come over, and yeah, now I will tell him when he comes, hey, we need to be able to take
calls.
And I already paid him, so he's obligated to come.
Okay.
Awesome.
Awesome.
I paid
what
him
have you been
with,
doing, Bruce?
I paid him with a freshly crocheted beanie hat, which he was dying for.
I have been obsessed the last day or two with watching these videos about Disneyland. Like
Disneyland?
If you guys haven't seen it, there is a really cool video called Construction in Disneyland, and it's a time lapse that they had never seen. These guys found it in the Disneyland vaults, and there's actually, like they said, there's like 400 DVDs worth of this stuff, but they have these time-lapse things that Walt thought ahead of time to put these cameras. They had done these time-lapse photography for, you know, these nature movies and stuff they did.
Yep.
Really cool. You can watch basically the entire thing of Disneyland being built. And the funny thing is they're doing Tomorrowland, which was the least stuff when they first opened. And 10 days before the opening, they didn't even have the rocket ship, wasn't even there, wasn't even in place. And it's showing, you know, the guy saying he's an Imagineer, and he's like, you know, if we had 10 days before open and something looked like this, he goes, people would be losing their jobs. He says, we'd be pulling our hair out because literally they're painting it like 4 days before it's up. They don't have umbrellas. They don't have anything in there. And the There's a thing called the storybook ride. Is that what it's called, Shelley?
Yes.
And you go on a little boat and it goes around. And when they first opened, there was nothing. There was nothing. It was all dirt. And they would say, well, the miniature villages are so miniature right now that you can't see them.
Sure.
And some guys from Disney went around and put the little plaques with the scientific names of the weeds that were there so that people could say, oh, this is Ormanus mulliganus, you know. And
ragweed?
Yeah. Pretty. And when they first put water in the rivers of America where the Mark Twain boat goes, it all drained because it's sandy soil. And they're like, oh.
That wasn't planned.
So they'd align it with clay. Anyway, it's very interesting. Okay. You should check it out.
Sure.
You know what that means.
What, Bruce? What?
It's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. Our dudes are awesome. Ask Fran.
Yeah, Fran still likes your dudes, I'm pretty sure. Okay. We have shout outs somewhere as soon as I bring up the boozy news on the monitor here. We have shout outs too. Okay. First shout out is actually a plug for our friend Alan Bilski. He gave me permission to use his full name. And the reason for that is he is the creator of KMJA Technology. That's in New York. He's an IT guy. His website, kmja.nyc, will be up soon. I got to tell you, he posts pictures sometimes of his, because he's an independent contractor, of the jobs he does. And I have never seen more OCD wiring in my life. This guy wants to build these systems to last forever.
And he's a patron.
Oh. So if you are in the New York area, any of the, you know, New York City's, you know, there's New Jersey and, you know, you can get on the train.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Do we have
anybody in that area that is looking for a really good, clean IT guy, look Alan Bilski up. He's also on Facebook. You can find him on Facebook.
Do we have a phone number for him?
Oh, you know what? I didn't think to get that from him.
We'll work on that.
Sorry,
not
Alan.
Not next time.
Yeah.
Time after next.
All right. We have regular shout-outs to Bill, Dan Stryker, Jack, Jane Lynn, Johnny, Alexandria, Clarissa Lee, the other Mark M, Fran, Mitch, Susan, Sally, Dakota, Georgette, Randy, and Roger.
The other Mark M?
We have another Mark M?
Yes, we do. We've had him for a while, but he hasn't sent me anything for a while. So. Yeah. All right.
Is he Mark with a C or Mark with a K?
K.
That's, wow. I don't know how I feel about that.
Hold on.
I don't give a shit.
The other mark we have here is mark with the C, right?
No. Yes.
No. Oh, mark. Oh, the no, other mark
yeah,
here.
The other mark. The other mark.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Mark. The other mark.
Ah, so I'm mark with a K.
The also. One who originally got the mark.
No, that was Dr. Mark.
Oh, no.
And then we co-opted it for Mark S.
Right, right. He was the second guy to get the Mac. Then yeah. Everybody named Mark got Mac.
And Mike.
And
Mike.
And yeah. Jess and Jimmy and...
We need a Mabel.
Penelope.
Mabel.
Because you guys just went too far.
I'm so glad that's over. Okay.
That's why I quit coming, so they had to quit doing it.
We used to have Lee.
Yeah, but that actually meant something.
Yeah, well, I heard his inventory. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. No, had nothing like that in his inventory.
Okay, can we move on to the news now? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, I found this story, actually, and it made me laugh so hard.
We'll be the judge of that.
A couple of research scientists and their neural network researchers were wondering if... And I don't know how they got on this subject. It isn't real clear in the story how they decided that this would be something they were going to do in their free time for fun. They wanted to find out if a computer could create and name, appropriately, new colors of paint. So they created an algorithm for red, blue, green values and stuff. And then they plugged in, you know, the alphabet and everything. And they created a program for the computer to create paint colors and name them.
That is a lot of work, I would think.
Well, then that's what they do for fun.
They should create a website for us for fun.
At first, it created just bland, not really colors with not really names and stuff. But as the algorithm grew, as the program grew on itself, it started to create some interesting things.
It started to become sentient?
A little bit.
You know what? This is going to be the start of, what's that thing from Terminator? Skynet. The start of Skynet is going to come from some guy trying to make a thing that makes paint and names it.
They got one of the first ones that was actually coherent was called Sane Green, but it was actually Purple Blue. Then they put in what they call the Creativity plugin in the program, and it gave them a purple color called Dondarf, Kelly Green called Blyfoam Glossed. Then finally, they got to a sky blue color called Gray Pubic.
Gray Pubic.
And dark green called Stoomy Brown.
Stoomy.
Now they've done like tons of colors and things like that. And just a couple of the names that made me laugh. Clartic Fug.
Clartic what?
Clartic Fug.
Fug.
Yeah. And this is in English. Me. Raunchy Blue. I want to know what that is. Bank Butt.
Bank Butt.
Stummy Beige.
Scummy Beige.
Light of Blast.
That sounds like something I used to do.
It looks like something you'd like a power up you'd get in a game. Light of Blast.
It sounds like something I used to do smoking coke. Light up Blast.
Yes. Cindis Poop. Dope, which is a putty color.
Dope?
Dope.
That makes sense.
That's dope.
And it's a putty color. They have Stoner Blue, which is kind of like a gray hazy color.
Clearly.
4 a.m.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
We used to call it 4:50 a.m.
They should have one called the Grays.
Yeah, there's a Stony Blue.
Yeah. And then we have Stanky Bean, which is kind of a green color. And then my personal favorite was the mustard yellow called Turdly.
Turd what?
Turdly.
Turdly.
I know.
I've seen some houses painted Turdly before.
Yes, I know. I always look at them and go, ew, why?
Yeah. I saw that in a diaper once.
Yeah.
Exactly. The next story
feeding
is
my kid peas.
At least they didn't call it dirty diaper.
Peas and carrots create an interesting turdly color.
Yes.
Next story is a little bit sad. Well, it is sad. It's just sad. Lisa Spoonauer, who was the actress that played Caitlin Bree in the movie Clerks, the cult classic Clerks.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
Has passed away. She was 44.
Ooh. Oh.
Cause of death was not released, but she apparently has not been well.
There's a lot of
recently.
These. Well, she's not well now. There's a lot of these this week.
I know, but that's the only one I actually got. But then Greg Allman died yesterday.
Greg
Allman died yesterday at 69.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard conflicting reports. Who?
Jim Bunning.
Who?
Who?
Jim Bunning was a major league pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
Who then
For a minute, I thought you said Jane Biden, and I'm like, no. What?
And who then became a U.S. senator.
Yeah. Pretty decent pitcher.
Threw a no-hitter.
Yeah.
Here's something I noticed that's interesting. Every time somebody famous dies, Amazon takes their movie off of Prime.
Why?
I don't know, because I had Clerks, which was a Prime.
Do they start charging for it then?
Yes.
Oh, that's smart.
Now, it'll go back to Prime eventually, probably, but I had Clerks on my Prime list. This is the second time this has happened, because when Alan Rickman passed away, I had one of his movies in my Prime list, and it suddenly wasn't Prime. Now, she's passed away, and I went, oh, I think I have Clerks in my playlist on Prime, and I went to look, and it was off of Prime, and you had to pay like $9.99
for it.
That's
very smart of them.
Well, because they know everybody's going to look her up.
You know who else started on Clerks?
Who?
Jay and Silent Bob.
That's true.
Which I thought were quite funny in that movie. They didn't have a lot in that movie, but it was pretty funny.
I have a question, though. I've heard conflicting reports. Some people said that Greg Allman passed away after years and years of issues with addiction and alcohol abuse. But then the official story...
It wouldn't surprise me.
The official story said that he died after a long illness. I don't know which, you know, what it was. So...
Well, wouldn't both be true?
Yes, they would.
Yeah, but I was wondering if either one of you had read any official
I have not.
Reports of... Oh, all right, well, we'll...
No, he's been pretty sick for the last year, though.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, but he's gone, and he's a legend.
Because he had cancer like 20 years ago, and it went into remission, so...
I remember the drummer from 8 Days Clean had bore a remarkable resemblance to Greg Allman. They used to call him that.
Okay, Bill sent this story, and this one made me laugh.
They used to also call him Thor, which I did not think he was that close to. I don't think Greg Allman looked much like Thor.
He had the hair.
Yeah.
It was the hair or the beard, I think. The mustache. Yeah.
Sorry, Shelley.
Bill sent this, and it made me laugh. If you go online, you should look this up. Just type in ultimate list of wonderfully specific museums.
Yeah, I never go online.
And, well, not for the next hour.
2 hours.
It's a list of 86 museums that are oddly specific. And some of them are really funny. Just some of the... like, there are people that create museums dedicated to fancy dog collars or sushi dishes or... You know, and they have... And you can go and visit them and pay, like, a dollar admission
you
or whatever
go
and go
sushi,
to the Museum of Sushi.
Can you eat the sushi?
No, I don't think so.
That would be awesome.
Not sure you'd want to eat.
Pay it.
Yeah.
Well, pay a dollar.
Mummified sushi.
Pay a dollar, they go in, they make you sushi.
Some of my favorites in the list were Bananenmuseum, which is in Germany. It's a museum of bananas. The U.S.
Why?
Because somebody likes bananas. The U.S. National Tick Collection.
Gwen Stefani performs there once a year.
The
U.S.
Tick?
National Tick Collection. It is the world's largest collection of dead ticks.
That's not... you know who that's popular with? Dogs.
And
dogs
that's in
like,
Georgia.
Look at all those dead bastards.
That's in Georgia. You can go and browse the tick collection.
Guard dog's a tick hound.
The Burlingame, California Museum of Pez Memorabilia.
I'd go to see that.
They have every Pez ever made.
I'm sure that, but I know that's specific.
They have all of them? Nicole Simpson, everybody?
I think so.
Wait a minute. Wait. Let me.
All the Pez dispensers.
Let me stop for 1 second and say this.
Wait a minute. Holy crap.
I was going, okay, wait for it.
I'm giving you the crooked middle finger.
There could be.
What?
Isn't every museum specific?
Mm-mm.
Like you go to the art museum and you see art.
Well,
you go to the
general,
train
though.
Museum,
general,
you
though.
See trains.
Those are
you
more
go to the
normal
miniature
thing.
Train museum, you see miniature trains.
Yeah, these are all like weird. Forgot to take their meds before they decided to open a museum type
thing. Just wait. I got a couple more good ones.
Okay.
In Australia, there is the Gnomesville Garden Gnome Museum. That's not too unusual. However, in Ohio, you can go to the Paul A. Johnson Official Pencil Sharpener Museum.
Oh, my God. For a second, when you said his name was Johnson, I'm like, oh, my God.
No. Oh, we'll
the
get there.
The Dildo Museum.
Oh, we'll get
it's
there.
Coming.
Oh.
It's coming.
In more ways than one.
But it's just pencil sharpeners, row upon row of different pencil sharpeners.
My sponsor used to collect straight blade razors.
Well, there is that. there's the umbrella cover museum in Maine. Not the umbrellas, just the little plastic bags they come in.
Okay. That is ridiculously
and
stupid.
You can go and tour. There's like four rooms of this where they've got all these different umbrella covers.
You know, because even though it sounds dumb, like the banana museum, there's probably interesting stuff about bananas, but plastic covers for umbrellas. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing it.
And now we have the Museum of Snoring in Germany.
Okay, Germany has got some weird shit.
Yes, they do.
Pardon my French, I'm Scottish.
And we have the Icelandic Phallological Museum, which is...
There you are.
There you are, which is the Museum of Mammal Penises.
Of mammal penises.
Yes. There's they have a whale penis.
One is in a huge room.
It is. If you go and look on the website and look at the picture, the picture is of the whale Schwanstucker.
Shelly has gone to look at the Schwanstucker of the largest mammal on Earth.
It's like takes up half the room.
How big would you estimate it is?
6-7 feet. Six feet.
It's got porn written all over it.
And
you see
finally,
a school of female whales swimming away really fast.
Yeah, you're not getting near me with that. Yeah. And finally, I think this is my favorite, and this one I would actually like to see, the Museum of Celebrity Leftovers. The people that own this museum go around and collect bits of food left on plates of celebrities.
That's really stupid.
And preserve them.
That's dumb.
Hey, they have a piece of a peanut butter and banana sandwich from Elvis.
That's still dumb.
Well, I thought it was funny. Anyway.
No, it's funny, but it's dumb funny.
Yeah.
Can you test the DNA on like a bite mark to make sure it's really legit?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess you'd have to.
Yeah, because I could just open up a museum with just a bunch of crumbs and say, oh, yeah, so-and-so ate this. How would you know?
Okay, Bill sent this next story in again. He wants to know what the heck is up with Girl Scout cookies.
They're crack.
Okay, in Kentucky, GSC. Last week, they finally tracked down and arrested Leanne Vick, 26 years old.
Did she rip off Girl Scouts?
Oh, yeah. And we're not talking just a little amount. She's going to do some time. What she was doing was she was acting as, she signed herself up to be like a troop assistant or whatever, and she was acting as the person that would go around and
pick up
the cookies to pick up the money. So she went around and picked up all the cookies for like the entire district.
And didn't deliver them.
Nobody knows where the cookies are. They finally found her after a month of searching. Don't know where the cookies are. I'm thinking, hello,
she couldn't get out of her room. She was so heavy.
$15,000 worth of cookies. I'm like, why? Why are people picking on the Girl Scouts?
Because the cookies are bomb.
They found her. She owned a dairy.
She owned a weed dispensary.
But I'm also thinking that this particular district, it's the Kentucky Wilderness District. And 2015, 2 years ago, another one of these troop assistants stole $4,000 worth of cookie sales money from the group to pay her bills. She admitted it, though, and she has a payment plan to pay it back. But the other woman, she just said, oh, I'm sorry, it must have been a mistake, I'll get those cookies back to you, and then never contact. The police had to track her down. Took a month to find her.
It was just a mistake.
And they still don't know where the cookies are because she ain't talking.
Let me get your 15,000 boxes of cookies back.
Yeah. And finally this...
Oh, wait. $15,000 worth of cookies. I was going to say 15,000 boxes of cookie require a little storage.
About 3,000 boxes.
And finally, this in, and
still a lot.
Yeah. I had read this article like 4 or 5 days ago, and then the other Mark M. sent it in, which I'm glad he did because I forgot about it. And this is of particular relevance to many of us. Alcoholics Anonymous is demanding the return of the original 1939 manuscript of the Big Book.
From whom?
What's the name? Well, right now it's at an auction house. It's sitting in an auction house in California.
Who's demanding it?
AA. They want their manuscript
from
back.
From whom, though? I know the auction house has it, but how did they get it?
The man's name who originally received it is not in the story. When Bill Wilson died, he had the last original manuscript. He had the main one that they all worked off of. You actually have a copy of it, Bruce. Remember a photocopy? Because I got it for you on eBay a few years ago. When he died, he willed the manuscript to Lois. Lois gifted it to a man who lives in Alabama with the provision that when he passed away, it would be returned to Alcoholics Anonymous. He never returned it. And so then...
I wonder if that's in writing when she gifted it to him.
Well, according to Alcoholics Anonymous, it is, that they have a copy of Lois's will. And that they just didn't know where the manuscript was in between her death and it coming up for auction in California. They expect to get as much as $1.8 million for the manuscript.
Isn't that good? I've read the book. It isn't that good.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Actually, the original manuscript has got
a lot of crossings out.
Tons of stuff crossed out and added in. It's really still interesting.
Isn't that good.
Oh, no. It just saved our lives. It's not that good.
I've read it.
It's the big book.
I've read it.
I've read it a bunch of times.
So it'll be interesting to see whether or not, because the AA filed an injunction to stop the auction house from auctioning it next week. So it'll be interesting. It's supposed to be sold on June 8th. It'll be interesting to see if their injunction works.
What's AA going to do with it when they get it?
Put it in the World Services office and then the auction museum.
It off.
Well, there's a little museum of AA history, whatever, the World Service in New York. And I think they want it for that. It was supposed
Wait a minute. That's an oddly specific museum.
Well, there you go. That's true. It's not really a museum per se, but it's just a display. I mean, you know, they put stuff out. But
I got news. The guys that are keeping people's leftovers, that's not really a museum either. That's an odd display of crap. Yeah.
That's a commissary.
Yeah. And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Recovery 101 Radio is a program based loosely on 12-step recovery programs. The format is less like a meeting and more like going to coffee afterwards. The meeting after the meeting, as it were. We used to suffer from insanity. Now we enjoy it. Find us at recovery101.net.
We're back.
What's up?
What is up? You got a topic for us, Mark.
Sure. Thought we'd have a little conversation about the fellowship, and we'll see where that goes if we call the show It's a Fellowship, Not a Love Boat.
Oh, well, you know exactly where that's going to go.
Yeah, I know, because we just planted that in your mind.
It's the love boat.
You don't remember the second line of that, do you?
Soon we'll be making another run.
Well, apparently she does.
The love boat promises something for everyone.
Apparently she does.
Shall I continue?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I think what you should continue that with is another famous theme song that goes along with the boozy news. Welcome back.
See, we got her to sing something, though.
She did. I remember from the theme, that guy had like one of those lounge lizard voices. He's like, the love boat. It was like real 70s, you know.
Wasn't it Jack Cassidy?
I don't know. Well, he was on the show a couple times, right? So, Shelley, what do you think? Fellowship, not love boat. Where does your mind go with that? Make sure I'm not the only one.
My mind goes to how many umpty zillion times I have told young women, you need to focus on your recovery. Step away from the man. That's what my mind instantly goes to.
And why would you have to keep away from the men? What might a man do with a young girl in the fellowship?
Well, if you don't know, then maybe you need to ask your mom for the talk.
Injector full of recovery.
A serenity injection. So, 13 step.
Yeah.
What if it's two newcomers, though? That's not really a 13 step, right?
No. What is it always called? It's like two noodles trying to make a rope or something.
Two what? Noodles trying to make a rope?
Yes, that.
Yeah,
that never really works out. And I love it because we go And Mark's been there many, many, many times. Started that meeting, actually. It's a meeting in a recovery facility. And you always see those people. Mark sponsored one. Shelley sponsored one. And they met each other. And it was magic. And it was going to be great. We said, that's a really bad idea. And they said, no, it's not. It's going to work out fine. We said, no, it's not.
Boy meets girl in detox.
Yeah. We said, no, it's not going to work out at all. It's going to end horribly.
And where are those two now?
They're both loaded.
They're still together.
No, she's with some other guy.
Oh, is she?
Yes, she's with some guy that's actually trying to... Last I heard, he was trying to become a gangbanger or a motorcycle club member.
It's not hard to become
that.
A gangbanger. You can be a gangbanger.
Oh, no, this is one of those gangs where you
gotta
prove
join the,
yourself.
He wants to join the gang. He just wants to be a banger.
Like a Vago.
So, yeah.
He doesn't want to be a banger. He actually wants to join the gang.
Yeah. And he's got to prove himself or something. I don't know. I don't know the exact situation on that. I just know that she's with somebody else.
Well, you talk about both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? We used to have a bunch of Vagos that lived right around the corner from where we are. They lived directly across the street from Plenty House, which is a recovery facility. And you know what?
I love them.
A couple of them went to meetings over the club. I'm really nice guys.
Yeah.
I know the Vagos are like this badass MC that threaten people and do bad stuff, and I know that. However, we have never had less crime in this area than when the Vagos lived over on Plenty.
That's right.
They'd sit sentinels on the ends of the alleyways and stuff, and you know, they may do stuff in other areas, but you do not come and do crap in their area. So I kind of miss them a little bit because I always felt a little bit safer, which sounds strange, but and every now and then I do see one guy. I think he actually owns a house around here, who's a member of that club. And we do the bro nod, and he pretends to shoot me. That's happened like 4 or 5 times now.
Oh, wow.
He's just pretending.
Yes, he does the finger thing at me, and I give him the bro nod, and he smiles and rides off.
So, Shelly.
One of these days, I'm going to end up with a bullet in my head.
You've sponsored a number of women, of course. What percentage of women have you sponsored that went out behind a guy?
Oh.
Usually under.
I don't know, probably of the ones that were determined to couple themselves, probably 80%.
How about you, Mark? Guys you've sponsored that went out with something to do with the female.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What percentage?
All of them that did it.
I was going to say, like, for me, it's like 95%.
Under every skirt, Bill.
A slip under every skirt.
Yep.
Well...
What was the other one? The Beaver Trail leads to wine country.
Yeah.
I had a couple that I was severely concerned that they were going to go out. One of them actually wasn't my sponsee anymore because the men they were involved with went out repeatedly. And then those two women wised up and said, okay, I am not following you. You're out. Go. Goodbye. So that's good.
Now, you know,
but most of them just wander off.
The person who's got a microscopic amount of time, 4 to 6 months.
Didn't seem microscopic at the time.
Yeah, but I mean, and they meet somebody in the program and they just decide to scratch an itch.
Yes. And it's funny how quickly, you know, we used to talk about it at coffee. We'd go to coffee, we'd take 10, 15 people to coffee, and suddenly one of the people who goes to coffee isn't there anymore. We're like, what happened? Girlfriend?
Yeah.
Boyfriend?
Yeah.
Suddenly they're gone.
And they're gone, gone, gone.
Then less times at meetings, suddenly you never see them anymore, and then they come straggling back in, a, you know, 3 months later.
Without the relationship.
Without the relationship and without... their car and without their house and without anything they had before.
But you know, it's what it's become. It's what the recovery centers and everything have become.
Well, and one of the, I don't even want to call it devil's advocate because it's not really the right word for it, but when you're in recovery, where would you find a girlfriend? We suggest you don't, you know,
how about, yeah.
Don't get them from a bar, because that's
a
bad idea.
Just don't right now.
Well, no, and clearly.
Because it's tough.
But we know people will.
It's tough when you have not formed a relationship with yourself to form one with somebody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But we'll always tell people, well, you know, hang out with people in recovery.
Yeah.
Stick with the winner. And, you know, so they're going to hang out with people in recovery.
God, don't date
them. That's where they're going to get their attraction from. They're going to find the one. And I've always said this. Single women in recovery are at a high, high premium because they're all, and you get girls that are a year, they're all taken by guys with 5 years, you know?
Yep.
And so what guys think, man, if I don't get one now, I'm not going to get one.
You know?
I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that's what they think.
And it's a big change, and it's funny because I hadn't even thought about this. I was talking with a friend of mine from the fellowship. She's got, I think, 27, 28 years now. But she's been around as long as I have. And so she just has a real tough time. And I remember when she came in. And I think I had about 90 days maybe when she showed up. And
have I met her?
Yeah.
Is she the redhead?
No. This one's coming. You've met her, though. And she and I were talking the other day. And I said, I remember when you came in. She goes, oh, I remember you when I came in. She goes, because you came up and you and I were having like this really cool conversation the first time we met and the second time we met. She goes, and all of a sudden, you quit talking to me. And I'm like, yeah, because another one of the women in the fellowship came up to me and almost put me up against a wall and said, stay away from her. And I was like,
was it her sponsor?
Okay, yeah. They're like, okay. But I was new at the time, too.
Well, the other gal, and I can't remember her name, she actually spoke at Thursday once, and we all went to coffee together. She came with a friend, and we all went to coffee, and our friend Lee was there. And Lee just started chatting her up like $1 million, except only chatted about himself. And she walked out one time.
Was it Elizabeth or was it Dee Dee?
Dee Dee.
Okay.
She comes walking outside, and she goes, wow. That guy really likes to talk about himself.
Very high opinion.
And she goes, it's like he thinks he's talking to newcomers who have never seen this before. Now, Shelly, you got 13-stepped, right?
By you.
Yeah, but you weren't in the program, so that didn't count.
Yeah, I don't know that it counts when you're married.
No, but I mean, you weren't. When I met you, you weren't in the program.
Right.
You only should have been.
Right.
And I didn't notice.
Right. I was not as advertised.
Any attempted 13 steps on you since you got in the program?
You mean by outside parties?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Who?
You had some guy, you said, tried to kind of grope you in the parking lot.
Oh, I forgot all about him. Oh, he's so disgusting.
She blocked it out.
Oh, that was so gross.
I haven't seen that guy since then, actually.
It's because Shelly told us about him. You'll never see him again.
Well, no, actually, I remember, yeah, because when it happened, I told my sponsor, but I didn't tell Bruce right away because I thought, oh, he's going to get pissed off and it's going to be a thing. So I didn't tell him right away. He found out about it at coffee one night. And he said, why didn't you tell me? Because this is what would happen. That's why I didn't tell you. He like pushed me up against my car and was like, I'm like, dude, you need to back off now. And I was like pissed off. No, the reason you don't see him around anymore is because he won't go to any, he stopped going to any meetings that I went to because I gave him a dressing down at the Pitzer meeting because he tried to put non-program related or non-AA related literature on the literature table for a Christian group that he was in. And I said, you cannot do that. And he said, why not?
A lot of ironies going on here, aren't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
Wow. I know. Seriously.
The plot sickens.
Well, he claimed he had empty zillion years or whatever and
sure.
Really into and maybe he did. I'm sure he did. But I don't know the quality of his program if he's behaving like that. So I gave him a dressing down at the meeting because I was a literature person. I said, you cannot put that on my table.
Yeah.
You know, we only allow, it's got to be AA related or conference approved. And he got pissed because he said, well, look, the conventions put their flyers here. And I said, that's AA related. It's a convention. This is just an outside Christian group. You cannot do that. And he was starting to yell at me. And then the secretary and the treasurer came to my defense and said I was right. And in fact, the treasurer at the time was a retired cop who said, who basically said, okay, I'm done with this conversation. Picked up the guy's flyers, marched over to the trash can and chucked him. And then started to escort him out of the meeting. And boy, that wasn't good. But after that, he never would go to any meetings.
I don't think you can escort someone out the meeting for that.
Sure you can.
Well, I mean, you can.
He was delaying the start of the meeting.
Each group's autonomous. You can do whatever you want.
Well, he ended up staying at that particular meeting. I think that our friend took him outside and had a discussion. He never came back.
We need to talk.
Yeah, but he never came back. And I never saw him at another meeting that I went to before or after that.
Anybody trying 13-step you, Mark?
There were those who succeeded.
He doesn't know how many tried because they all succeeded.
That's right. Nobody. There were none that tried.
There is no try. There's
do. Yeah, no, that's I came into a program. The program was so young that all we had was each other. And it wasn't like there was any real time. And especially amongst women, there was no time. So, you know, if I've got, you know, 60 days, can I get 13 step by somebody with 58 days? You know.
Well, you know what was great about CA back in those days? Cocaine Anonymous, people would get thrashed from coke. Really thrashed. I mean, people would come in and they'd bless you. They'd come in and they would be, you know, these girls would be wafer thin and not looking too good. But what happens with cocaine users is 2 weeks of eating and suddenly they all looked fantastic.
I mean, when a female's 5'4", going from 92 pounds to 105 pounds is a remarkable difference.
Yeah. And suddenly they look great, like almost immediately.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was fantastic. Now, interestingly enough, I remember one time we were at Charter, and certainly not being 13th step because this girl didn't have any time. Uh-huh. But I'm standing outside like I always do, and I'm chatting with whoever, and this girl's like, oh, yeah, can I have your number? And I'm like, I'm thinking nothing of it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got a card right here. And Shelly comes flying up, and Shelly's like, oh, I got a card right here.
Yes.
And I'm like, and maybe I was blind to what was going on, I guess.
He clearly, I was watching the whole exchange from slight distance because she had all the signs, the flipping of the hair, the licking of the lips, the batting of the eyes, all of the signs when she's talking to Bruce.
She was a hair flicker.
Yeah. And I'm just sitting there watching it. I'm amused because I'm pretty sure he's totally oblivious because you know how Bruce is. He's still talking about program crap and she's standing there, you know, tilting her head to the side, flipping her hair and all of this stuff.
That's what I'm supposed to do is talk about program stuff.
And when I heard her say that, wow, you're really interesting. Can I have your phone number? And I'm like, okay, my cue. And I walked over and I said, why don't you give her my card? And I handed her my card instead. Not because it didn't have anything to do with maybe it had a little bit to do with the whole territory thing. Hands off, bitch. But mostly it was because what I didn't want to have happen, because in that particular group of girls, they were all about the same age. And what I didn't want to have happen was to have her example looked at by other women and think that that was okay. Because
it's fine.
No, it's not okay. You need to focus on your program. The women need to stick with the women and the men need to stick with the men.
They were looking for a sponsor.
Well, she didn't get my husband a sponsor. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that's one of the weird things about being an FA, because I've always been an advocate of men work with men, women work with women.
Yeah.
Except in FA, because the program is 90% female.
Oh, yeah. You're a little bit skewed to that.
And, I mean, I have a male sponsor.
Yeah.
But I probably sponsor 3 females right now.
The numbers dictate that, though.
Yeah.
They don't dictate that so much in other 12-step.
And so, you know, it's just... part of the thing is, you're in a program that's a 12-step program that has very few people who talk about the steps.
Yeah.
So I share and I talk about steps and traditions and work in the program, and there are people who've been in the program that have never worked a step, and their sponsors don't know how to work the steps.
That's just weird.
They just haven't done it. Their sponsors tell them, go to an AWOL. You'll learn to
work. It's like when my mom was in Al-Anon.
Yeah.
My mom's like, I'm going to start a step study. And I'm like, who's going to run it? And she goes, I am. I'm like, have you ever worked the steps? She's like, no. I'm like, maybe you should call Al-Anon Central Office. Get them to send someone over who's worked the steps. Because that's like the blind leading the blind.
There's that.
What do you think the percentage in AA is of men to women? Still heavily men, right?
Probably 60-40 at this point.
AA is more, no, I think it's higher than that.
70-40 maybe?
Cool. Or 70-40.
Yeah, 70-40. Yeah, I'm sure that's what it is.
70-30?
That explains a lot, Bruce.
Because when I walk into a meeting, just look at Charter. When I walk into a meeting there, the only time there's women if they're in the facility, because there's not many women. I mean, how many times have you gotten into Charter, Shelley, where you're the only woman in there?
A few.
What do you think? You think part two of this show we should do on the next show, and we should talk about the fellowshipping and maybe the fellowshipping in the program without getting to the 13th step?
Well, because you did fellowshipping is not the love boat. Fellowship. I mean, you know.
Next show will be fellowship. Next show could be fellowshipping is fellowshipping.
Well, so Shelley, what is your final words?
What is my
fellowshipping
final word?
Is not the love boat.
What is your final word?
My final word? or what are my final words?
Either, whatever. Grammarian.
Yeah, you marry a grammarian.
I tried to train him. I tried. My final words would be that if you are looking for love in the wrong place, you're just going to leave because you won't find it. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, Mark?
My final words are, you are looking to be with someone who came to the same place you did. Would you want to date yourself?
Good point.
Ooh. My final words are, if fellowshipping becomes the love boat, it's sure to be a shipwreck.
Nice.
So there's a cool shirt company.
That would be Terminally Unique Apparel at terminallyuniqueapparel.com. You can go and order swag and do all kinds of fun stuff. So go there and check us out.
If you are Facebook friendly, it's really easy to join Podomatic. You will get the option to log in with Facebook. You can do that real easy. It's for free and for fun. If you are Facebook friendly, you can easily like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. We put links to shows up there. If you'd like to join the secret group, you can ask at the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page by messaging us there. You can message Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper. They will get you added to that group, and you can interact with people you hear about on the show, like Fantastic and Bill Piper and Robert and you know, a variety pack of other people. If you want to become lead out entertainment, whether it's comedy or music or something, and you're in a band and you're sober, or you know, at least a couple of the people in the band are sober, you can send us some MP3s. That's a preferred format. Send us a picture you'd like us to turn into a clickable link, and then send us a web address you'd like that clickable link to go to, whether it's YouTube or SoundCloud or Reverb Nation or Facebook or wherever, and we will do that for you for free and for fun. Did I say recovery101radio@gmail? Okay.
Sure.
Because that's where you send that other stuff to. You can also send boozy news there. And then that was that. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
So, Shelley, who's the lead on music by?
Electra.
She just got married.
Good for her.
Yes, she did. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Electra. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
I've been to the ends, and I have pictures to show all of my friends. I've been all alone, and I've been desperate and searching for something. I have been to the end with no one.